Employment Committee will now come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Misty, please call the roll.
Chair Masullo.
Here.
Vice Chair Bell.
Here.
Committee Whip Hawkins.
Here.
Ranking Member Williams.
Here.
Representative Alvarez.
Here.
Representative Bankson.
Here.
Representative Basabi.
Here.
Representative Kennedy.
Here.
Representative Daniels. Representative Esposito.
Here.
Representative Fine.
Here.
Representative Franklin.
Present.
Representative Gonzalez-Pittman.
Present.
Representative Coster.
Here.
Representative McLean.
Here.
Representative Mello.
Here.
Representative Tribolsi.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
Representative Valdez.
Buenos dias, present.
Representative Waldron.
Here.
Representative Woodson.
Here.
Thank you, Misty. Members and ladies and gentlemen in the audience, please remember to silence your cell phones. It is a happy Friday here in Tallahassee and an early morning. We have a long day and some of us are going to be traveling this afternoon. So I would ask that we concentrate on moving our work through diligently, concisely, and let's get everything done so we can move on to what we need to do in session. First up, members, is HB 517 by Dr. Representative Rudman, Nursing Education for Military Combat Medics. Representative Rudman, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Doctor. Chair Masullo, Vice Chair Bell, Ranking Member Williams. It is my pleasure to present House Bill 517, the Pathway for Military Combat Medics Act. Essentially, this bill will create a process to give our combat medics credit towards nursing schools in the state of Florida, either via course equivalencies or via clock hours. That is the bill.
Very good. Members, any questions for Representative Rudman? Any questions? All right, seeing none, and we have no amendments. We have some public testimony. Andrew Ketchell. Waves in support. Don't see you here. Thank you for that. Christopher Strasburg, Americans for Prosperity, waves in support. Ronald LaFace, Florida Association of Nurse Anesthesiologists, waves in support. Bob Astolis, Department of Veterans Affairs, waves in support. Oh, there you are. How are you? Good morning. And Rachel Whitbrock, University of West Florida, is a proponent and would like to speak. You wouldn't waive your time and support. Thank you for that, and thank you for being here. Very good. Members, we're in debate. Debate on this good bill. Any debate? Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Dr. Rudman, for bringing this bill forward. I know that with the shorting of nursing professionals that we have, this will definitely help to increase the availability of skilled nursing and skilled nurses and increase our workforce. So thank you very much for this very good bill.
Representative Daniels, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Rep. Rudman, first of all, I want to thank you for this great bill. You know, we know the need in our community, but I just want to thank you for reaching out and with your kind spirit. You know, you go out of the way to make sure that we know what your bill is about and to let us know if we have any questions, and I appreciate that.
Any other members wishing to debate? Rep. Rudman, I believe you might have unanimous support on this bill, and I have to compliment you for it. We need more nursing in our state. We need to provide jobs for those individuals that have served us so well in the military, and you're doing both by your bill, and you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair Masullo. I just wanted to share a story with you. So when I filed this bill, I got in the elevator upstairs with my LA, and we were talking about the bill. There was a gentleman in the elevator with us who overheard us, and he said, you know, I used to be a combat medic. He said, now I'm in politics. You know, I'm here in the Capitol. I said, well, did you lose a bet somewhere? What went wrong? And he said, well, Dr. Rudman, your bill didn't exist when I got out of the service. He said, I wanted to become a nurse, but with all my experience starting IVs, putting in chest tubes, he said they were going to make me go to the back of the line and started Nursing 101 with all the 17 and 18-year-olds, and I got no credit for my experience and for my courses. So it's in his honor that I'm here today and filing this bill, and I hope you'll all vote up. Thank you.
Thank you. Having closed on this bill and hopefully to prevent suffering from many other people getting into the political scene, Misty, please call the vote.
Representatives Alvarez.
Yay.
Bankson.
Yes.
Wasabi.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Kennedy.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Esposito.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
Franklin.
Yes.
Gonzalez Pittman.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
McLean.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Trabolsi.
Yes.
Tuck.
Yes.
Valdez.
Yes.
Waldron.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Chair Masula.
Yes. 21-0. Thank you, Misty. By your vote, members will show HB 517 reported favorably. Dr. Rudman, congratulations. Have a great Friday. Next up, members will go to HB 257 by Representative Baker, Higher Education Facilities Financing. Representative Baker, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and committee members for the opportunity to present this bill this morning. HB 257 is a cleanup bill that allows the Higher Educational Facilities Financing Authority, also referred to as HEFA, to operate more efficiently, which will ultimately benefit the ICUF schools who access the tax-exempt bond market through the authority. The bill clarifies that HEFA serves a public purpose. It clears up ambiguities regarding the appointment of HEFA board members, allowing each new appointment to serve a full five-year term, allows HEFA board meetings to be conducted via Zoom, allows HEFA to contract out services to assist with administrative matters, confirms the time as of which HEFA will determine the financial responsibility of an applicant school, and extends the time HEFA must file its annual audit from 2 to 6 months at the end of the fiscal year, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Having presented her bill, members, any questions? Questions about higher education financing facilities? All right, seeing none, and we do not have an amendment. We do have some public testimony. Chris Floyd, Independent Colleges and University of Florida, waves in support. Brett Backcock, Independent Colleges and Universities, ICUF, waves in support. I always think I'm gonna have more of these than I do. We're in debate. Any debate? Debate, members. Okay, must be a complicated issue. You recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will waive close.
Having waived close, Misty, please call the vote.
Representatives Alvarez.
Yay.
Bankson.
Yes.
Wasabi.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Kennedy.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Esposito.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
Franklin.
Yes.
Gonzalez Pittman.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
McLean.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Trabolsi.
Yes.
Tuck.
Yes.
Valdez.
Yes.
Waldron.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Chair Masula.
Yes. Thank you. Members, by your vote, will show HB 257 reported favorably. Representative Baker, congratulations. Next up, members will have CS for HB 845, CS for HB 845 by Representatives Hanshosky and Dunkley, Collegiate Purple Star Campuses. Ladies, you're welcome to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to present CS for HB 845 relating to Collegiate Purple Star Campuses. Chair Masulo, Vice Chair Bell, Committee Whip Hawkins, Ranking Member Williams, and Subcommittee Members. So House Bill 845 sets guidelines for a Florida college system, institution, state university, or career center to join the Collegiate Purple Star Campuses program. This program would allow for these campuses to self-identify as an institution that understands and respects the different needs of students, veterans, and students who are part of a military family. Those institutions who choose to join the program would be required to make several resources available to military students, such as a designated staff member as a military liaison, a page on their website with available resources to military families, a student-led transition program for military students, and priority course registration. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, any questions? Questions on the bill? All right. Seeing none, we do have some public testimony. Bob Astolois. Very good. Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, by the way. Thank you for being here. And now we're in debate. Any debate? Debate on this good bill. Representative Basabi, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Ladies, thank you for this wonderful bill. I just wanted to let you all know my father legally immigrated to this country and fought for this country. And anything that we all do that continuously just serves the needs of our military families, I think is just wonderful. So I just wanted to thank you. Thank you so much.
Rep. Valdez, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair Masullo. And this bill is a wonderful bill, Representative Dunkley, especially during the week where we are honoring our Vietnam veterans, which we know that when they came back to our country, they weren't treated very well. So thank you for bringing this thoughtful bill forward, and I can't wait to vote up on it. Thank you.
Further debate? Any further debate, members? Okay. I want to thank you too, ladies. First of all, thank you for coming to us so many times to have your bill being heard, and for what you're doing for the veterans in this great recognition. And now you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In close, I just wanted to thank Representative Dunkley herself for her service to our country. And I also wanted to do a quick shout out to Representative Trabulsi and wish her a very happy birthday today. And with that, we close.
Very good. We were going to sing later. If you'd like to stick around, you're welcome to do so.
Thank you.
Having closed on their bill, Misty, please call the vote.
Representatives Alvarez.
Yay.
Thankson.
Yes.
Basabi.
Yes.
Bill.
Yes.
Kennedy.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Esposito.
Yes.
Fine. Franklin.
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Coster.
Happy birthday, yes.
McLean.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Trabulsi.
Yes.
Tuck.
Yes.
Valdez.
Yes.
Waldron.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes, I was forbidden to debate, Mr. Chair, for the sake of time, so I just say yes.
We have such good members here.
And Chair Masullo.
Yes.
20-0.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, will show CS for HB 845 reported favorably. Congratulations, ladies. Next up, members, will have HB 287 by Representative Plasencia, required instruction in history of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. You're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Masullo, Vice Chair Bell, and Ranking Member Williams. HB 287 requires history of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders to be included in specified instruction. That is the bill.
Very good. Questions? Seeing no questions, we have an amendment. Rep. Plasencia, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 099241.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment is to ensure that we include the history of the Japanese internment camps and the incarceration of Japanese Americans during World War II. That is the amendment.
Very good. Questions on the amendment, members? Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, we have public testimony on the amendment. Nancy Lothar is a proponent and wishes to speak. Are you here, Ms. Lothar? All right. Well, I'm assuming she waves in support then. She's from the Florida PTA. And all right. Any debate on the amendment, members? Debate on the amendment? Any objections to the amendment? So we'll show that amendment adopted without objection. We're on the bill as amended with public testimony on the bill. Nancy Lothar. I'm assuming she's still not here, so she waves in support. Audria, give me a second. Mecca-Basco, is that right? You'd like to speak? You're recognized. Good morning.
Dear Chair, dear Dr. Chair Masullo and Vice Chair Bell and distinguished members of the Education and Employment Committee, thank you so much for your time. My name is Audra Lokiao Mecca-Basco. I've been a resident of Jacksonville, Florida for 43 years, and I'm a parent of children that currently attend Florida schools. Today, I'm proudly speaking in favor of HB 287. I was born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida, born on the base at NAS Jax. My grandfather was a proud U.S. Army vet in the Philippines. My father, a proud retired U.S. Navy veteran and loyal postal worker. My mother was a registered nurse recruited from the Philippines. My family history is beautiful and unique, but at the same time, very common. Our community is filled with Filipinos working as RNs, serving in the Navy, or working for the post office. The contributions of Filipino Americans to our great Navy and to our great nation span over 120 years. Since 1960, over 150,000 Filipino nurses have migrated to the United States, mending staffing gaps in America's healthcare system, especially in times of crisis. Filipino nurses play a crucial role in our country's medical system. We have a vibrant culture and with a history with rich ties that bind to American history, including Asian American and Pacific Islander history and culture in classrooms is important because throughout American history, Filipinos, along with many other ethnic groups in Asia, with Asian heritage, contributed in huge ways. My family's story is just one piece of a multifaceted group that makes up Asian American Pacific Islander history. Teaching the history of different ethnic groups will bring communities together by developing understanding and mutual respect. Students will learn to preserve, protect, embrace, and appreciate various groups and their part in American history. This is urgent to me because my children attend Florida schools, and I truly feel that embracing their culture through academics would be such a rewarding experience that revitalizes and empowers the younger generation moving forward while acknowledging the part our parents and grandparents play in American history. Please favorably vote HB 287 out of the committee with haste. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Thank you, and thank you for being here. Next, we have Emily Stower, Make Us Visible Florida. She waves in support. That ends our public testimony members debate. Any debate on the bill? Rep. Trubulski, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Placencia, for bringing this bill forward. Just like a lot of pieces of legislation, it takes several years to get it over the finish line. And over the past 3 years, I've been able to have a lot of conversations with Make Us Visible Florida. And it's not just the rich history that we're trying to make visible with Asian Americans, but there's also an enormous amount of hate crimes against Asian Americans. And just to make, you know, everyone more aware of not only how you've enriched our country, but how we need to treat you with more respect and understand, you know, your perspective. I thank you for continuing to work on this. I'm so glad that you're bringing it home, and I'm really proud to be your Prime co-sponsor.
Further debate? Any further debate? Rep. Placencia, I want to thank you for bringing this bill. I remember in the lunchroom when we had the discussion about it. We have such a beautiful and diverse country with so many different people from so many places around the world. They all have a story. And that story blends into ours and makes the beautiful substance of what we call the United States of America. Thank you for this bill. And with that, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, committee members. This is the last committee stop for this bill. It was brought to me by Make Us Visible Florida, a constituent. And it's a wonderful organization, a great bill. And I want to thank all the people that have spoken along the way and have told their personal stories. And with that, I close.
Having closed on our bill, Ms. D, please call the vote.
Representative Alvarez?
Yay.
Bankson?
Yes.
Wasabi?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fine? Franklin?
Yes.
Gonzalez Pittman?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Tribolsi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes. Thank you, Misty. Members, by your vote, will show HB 287 reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Placencia. Next up, members will have CS for HB 223 by Representative Bartleman, Public School Student Progression for Students with Disabilities. Rep. Bartleman, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the members, and happy birthday to the woman who first heard this bill at the first committee stop and believing in this. So thank you very much, and happy birthday. So I am here to present House Bill 223. All of you have the technical explanation in your binders, which I'm sure is a little confusing. So I'm going to talk about what this bill really does. What this bill does is it creates a pathway for parents of students with disabilities or developmental delays to best meet the needs of their children. It encourages and supports parental choice, and in fact, this idea came from a group of parents, an honest mother. I sat down with them in their living room, and we spoke about this situation, and they were strong advocates to have this option. Anna has Down syndrome, and her mother considers her special needs an ability, not a disability. And she works very hard to make sure Anna has everything she needs to reach her potential. Students like Anna, with a disability or a global developmental delay, do not reach their developmental milestones at the same rate as their peers. Just like babies, they will not sit up, crawl, walk, or talk at the same time as children their age. They are, by definition, behind. This includes their fine and gross motor skills, as well as their speech and communication skills. Despite being served in an exceptional student education pre-kindergarten classroom, many students still have not caught up and do not have the foundation or the prerequisite skills and executive functioning skills needed to be successful in kindergarten. Everyone agreed. Anna would benefit from an extra year in ESC pre-K to learn to follow directions, to improve her communication skills, and to catch up before going into kindergarten, where the curriculum is much more rigorous and the pupil-to-teacher ratio is higher. Parents like Anna's are faced with a tough decision. Do they hold their child back in pre-kindergarten, which may be the most educationally sound decision for that child, because that sets the foundation for future learning? But there's a risk. They know that under the current law, their child can be retained yet again before the fourth grade. Under current law, a child cannot be promoted to the fourth grade without passing a third grade standardized reading test. However, there are good cause exemptions in the law that make exemptions for students with disabilities if their IEP reflects intensive instruction for more than 2 years and who were previously retained in kindergarten, first, second, or third grade. All of those students have this good cause exemption. A student with a disability must be retained at least once to meet good cause. This bill is very simple, everyone. All it does is amend that section of law so that pre-kindergarten can be used as a spot where retention can occur and can count towards the good cause exemption. Studies show that the earlier retention, the better the outcomes will be for the child. And we all know how important it is to set a strong foundation before entering kindergarten. That's been a priority of this legislature. Look, this will not be the right decision for every family. This is just another tool in the box for parents like Anna's, and they will work with their IEP team to make the best individualized educational decision for their child. Special education is not one size fits all, and this will help each and every child reach their fullest potential, and I am asking for your support. Thank you.
Very good. Members, any questions? Questions on that great explanation of Rep. Bartleman's bill? Any questions? All right, seeing none, we do have some public testimony. Margaret Hooper, Florida Development Disabilities Council, waves in support. Victoria Zepp is a proponent, and you are recognized to speak. You're representing yourself.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Victoria Zepp. I come before you typically with either IT, foster care, or autism issues. As many of you know, all my children come from the foster care system. And my baby actually was held back in pre-K. He has autism. And at the time, he had PDD, pervasive development disorder. We got massive interventions. We were moving him along. He was still delayed, and they did not want to let him progress because he was held back in pre-K, which is most educationally sound. Well, we had to fight, go to the district, get all these, you know, concessions done. It was really, really tough. I know the system. But when you have a child with autism or special needs, you know how much more the workload is for that child to get them through education. He ended up, just so that you do know, by having intensive still strategies, et cetera, not letting up, continuous intervention, he got a typical high school diploma, and he actually got a scholarship to the Fulbright College at University of Arkansas. Today he works in IT and is a tax-paying citizen, but it took a lot, but the hurdles we had to go through and my knowing the system was off the charts ridiculous. So I do hope we do take this into consideration because it is the best practice as well. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. And you
thank
know, we
you for bringing this bill.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. We thank members of the military all the time for their service, but I want to thank you for your service in raising those children. It is a sacrifice of your time, your energy, and most of your life, and we can't appreciate you enough. Thank you.
That's the gift that keeps giving.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we have Nancy Lothar, the Florida PTA. She waves in support. Kristen Davis, Hillsborough County Public Schools, waves in support. And that ends our public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Any debate on the bill? Okay. Rep. Bartleman, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. I think Victoria said it all. This bill removes those hurdles, those risks, and it gives parents a choice to do what they know is best for their child at the pre-K level. Thank you, Chair Masula, for everything. What a great way to start my day. This committee is so happy. It's like just butterflies, and it's just you walk out of here and you feel so good because of everything you're doing. So
we
thank you all very much.
We can only pray it continues on to the floor.
We'll all do that. Thank you all very much.
Having closed on our bill, Misty, please call the vote.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Kasabi?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fine? Franklin?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez? Waldron?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Masula?
Yes. Members, by your vote, we'll show CS for HB 223 reported favorably. Congratulations. Next, members, we're going to go to our own ranking member with HB 891 by Representative Williams, year-round school pilot program. Representative Williams, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the committee. HB 891, the bill will implement a year-round school in selected schools for five different districts. And to study the benefits, the issues, and schedule options for a year-round model school. This pilot will implement either a single track or multi-track. It will also include an assessment, the safety study benefits, and establishing a year-round schedule. It will evaluate the potential barriers for school district may face for a year-round schedule, including but not limited to issues related to employees' commitment, service during the summers, budgeting modification, parent engagement, participation, and community services engagement from the students. This bill will also encourage those students that need additional help due to the loss of 2 years that we have had during COVID, due to the achievement gap for students that struggling, and also it will help because juvenile crime increased during the time students are out of school. Mr. Chair, that's the bill.
Thank you. Having presented her bill, members, any questions? Vice Chair Bell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Have you identified the schools that will start this pilot program in the state of Florida?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, it will be 5 different districts, and it will start in elementary schools, but it has not been identified which school will be participating.
I can tell you my district's interested, though. That's the Citrus County District, just to get that on the record. Further questions? Representative Daniels, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Representative Williams, if someone wants to be a part of that program, can you say who do they reach out to? How can, right now, can you put that on the record?
You're recognized.
Mr. Chair, at this point, I'm just trying to get it past the finish line and approve.
Rep. Daniels, I believe they'll apply to the department. Further questions? Any further questions? All right, we do have some public testimony. Nancy Lothar from the Florida PTA waves in support. That ends public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Debate on this bill. Any debate? All right, well, I'll debate a little bit. Rep. Williams, I remember when you came to this bill, came to me about this bill, and it was as if you were reading my mind, because I, like you, believe this is a very important policy to try to implement, actually, not just in the 5 districts, but hopefully someday throughout our state. Our students, particularly with the way technology has changed and their activities have changed and how we define the home has changed, we have a summer pause in learning that is becoming monumental in our attempt to try to overcome it. And I believe to best educate our children, it's better if they have more consistent education, and that's what you're providing by your bill. And you're recognized to close. Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I was...
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's somewhat different, but I think it has a little bit of relevance. I was a homeschooler. I think I'm in year 30 homeschooling. We've always homeschooled year round, and it's probably maybe for different reasons, but it's for more flexible schedule. But certainly there was never a long period of time where we didn't school, and so we would take probably a little longer at Christmas for a break, a little longer maybe. During spring break, in the summer, usually take some time off, but then normally just kind of schooled year round. And so it was always helpful for us. Again, it was maybe more of a flexibility issue, but certainly we never really had a gap in instruction. So it worked out well for us. And I think that, the gap that we see that takes place during the summer, especially as it relates to younger children, I think is it's a great bill and certainly needs to be explored.
And for those of you who don't know, Rep. McLean has 12 children. So he qualifies as one of the largest homeschools in the state. Rep. Williams, you now recognize the close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this program is optional, and I'm a firm believer if we invest in children now, we won't have to pay for them later. And I close.
Having closed on our bill, Misty, please call the vote.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yay.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fine? Franklin?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Hawkins? Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Tribolsi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez? Waldron?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Masula?
Yes. Very good. Thank you. Members, by your vote, will show HB 891 reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Williams. Members, we're going to show HB 699 TP today, and we'll have that up in our committee at a later date. Next up, we'll have PCS for CS for HB 679 by Representative Kennedy, Agreements of Educational Entities and Foreign Entities. Rep. Kennedy, you're recognized to present your bill as you make your way to the podium.
Thank you, Chair Misullo, Vice Chair Bell, Ranking Member Williams, and committee members for hearing my bill today. This PCS addresses the partnerships and agreements that many of our state colleges and universities have with the seven foreign countries of concern: Iran, Russia, North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela, Syria, and especially China. Now, not all collaboration is problematic. Some of it is good and wise and helpful, but common sense dictates that our Florida colleges and universities must not have ties to the Chinese Communist Party's military civil fusion strategy executed through research labs connected with Chinese universities. This PCS keeps all the original language and the original bill, which requires Florida State universities and state colleges to publicly disclose their partnerships, prohibits the giving or accepting of gifts. It authorizes the Board of Education and the Board of Governors to properly vet the grants, partnerships, and agreements, and also provides an on-ramp for those programs that are determined to be in the best interest of students and not detrimental to the security of the United States. It provides an enforcement mechanism. Now, here's what's different. It has some additional language that adds a definition for foreign principal, which will further define what entities are included in the prohibition. It separates the start dates of the agreement from July 1, 2023, and partnerships December 1, 2023, the participation between the countries of concern and secondary education institutions. It adds restrictions on scholarship funds to be sent to any private pre-K through 12 school if it is owned or operated by a country of concern or a foreign principal. And that, members, is the PCS.
Members, any questions? Questions on Rep. Kennedy's bill? All right. Seeing no questions, we'll go into public testimony. Clay Ingram, Florida State University. Waves in support. Thank you for being here. Rachel Witchbrock, University of West Florida. Thank you. Waves in support. That ends our public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Debate on the bill. Any debate? Representative Alvarez, yes.
Mr. Chair, I know I'm not McLean with 12 kids, but I have four kids, so maybe that'll help you remember, sir. Right. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I got to tell you something. This one for me is really, really a really big deal. And I am very impressed that FSU and Wes are here to support you on this one, because the way we lose a country and the way that we lose our society when they can't beat us on the marketplace of ideas is through the back door by taking your children, poisoning their minds, and then getting inside there and telling them that we're evil, that the United States is a bad ideology, and that we're not worth investing in. So let's change it from the inside. And I'm gonna give you a big example. The University of Tampa right now has an exchange program with Cuba. If I might remind you, Cuba is on the top five state sponsors of terror that we look for as the United States. And they're in my backyard acting like this program is a phenomenal exchange. So the kids go down there, they get toured by the Communist Party, handled by the elites, and then they come back and tell me how great Cuba is while the people there are suffering. Could you fathom us doing that in the 1940s and the 30s with the German government and then the University of Tampa coming around saying how wonderful that exchange is? This is the bill that we're voting on, members. This is the bill that I want to see carry through the floor. And this is why. Because America is worth it. Our kids are worth it. And thank you for bringing this bill.
Very good. Further debate? Any further debate? All right. Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
Having wave close after Rep. Alvarez's brilliant close.
Yay.
Misty, please call the vote.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yay.
Bankston?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fine? Franklin?
Yes.
Gonzalez Pittman?
Yes.
Hawkins? Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Tribolsi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez? Waldron?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Masulo?
Yes. Thank you. Members, by your vote, will show PCS for CS for HB 679 reported favorably. Rep. Kennedy, congratulations. Next up, members will have CS for HB 857 by Rep. Daniels, Charter Schools. Rep. Daniels, you are recognized to present your bill. You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, and the best ranking member in the House, ranking member Williams. House Bill 857 amends Florida Statute 100.1002.33, an act relating to charter schools. Current law authorizes a charter school to limit the enrollment process to students who meet reasonable academic standards as established by the school. The bill clarifies that admission and dismissal procedures specified in a school's charter may allow for dismissal based on a student's academic performance if academic performance was identified in the school's enrollment process. And Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
Very good. Members, any questions? Do you have a question? Okay. All right. We do have an amendment by Representative Garcia.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm going to consider that amendment unfriendly.
Okay.
Because the Democrats took me in there and they were treating me pretty bad And so they told me not to accept her amendment.
April Fool's. Well, it's just, that's tomorrow, by the way.
One day, so April Fool's 24 hours ahead. April Fool's, everybody. Happy April Fool's early. They were so wonderful to me.
Yeah, you should have at least let her present it first. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Rep. Garcia, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 827123.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment does three things. It clarifies that charter school may assign its charter to a high-performing charter school operating in the same district. It authorizes a charter school operated by a non-for-profit entity to loan unrestricted assets. And it makes a technical change to include charter schools that receive school improvement ratings in the eligibility for charter capital outlay funds. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Having presented her amendment, members, any questions on the amendment? Clarifying amendment. Rep. Daniels, I'm sorry. Rep. Williams, do you have a?
Yes, on the amendment.
You're recognized.
The amendment where you're stating that taking children that's at a low-failing charter school and the high-performing charter school would be able to take those students over. Could you explain that, please?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we did the amendment in the previous stop, it was to allow for charter schools. Right now, if a charter school is closing for any reason, it closes and it displaces all the children and the teachers and everything. You can't just reassign it. This clarifies that amendment that only a high-performing charter school would be able to take over another charter school. If, you know, and it would have all the, that charter school's already qualified with all the things that you need to do to have a charter school. So all of the investment that we already put into it and all, it won't be thrown away or wasted because now you could take it over with a charter school that is high performing.
Follow up, you're recognized, Rep. Williams.
What happens if there's no high performing charter school in that area?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then the school closes.
Further follow up? All right. Further questions about the amendment? All right, hang on. We have no public testimony on the amendment. We're on debate on the amendment, members. Any debate? Any? Ranking Member Williams, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Currently, when the low-performing charter school closes or the owner or whoever walks away, the students are actually referred back to the public school system. So now that this amendment comes forth, the children will go to a charter school that's high performing, and if not, there's not one in that area, we don't have a decision right now what would happen to those children. So I am against that amendment at this particular time until we can actually clarify the direction that we would send the students that will be displaced.
Further debate? Any further debate? All right, seeing none, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close, Mr. Chair.
Having waived close, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We'll show that amendment adopted. All right, we are on the bill as amended, and we do have some public testimony. Edward Briggs, Charter School Leaders of Florida, waves in support. Edward, nice seeing you this morning. That ends public testimony. We're in debate on the bill as amended, members. Any debate on the bill as amended? Rep. Woodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Daniels, I would say when a charter school closes, I don't have a problem with them going to another charter school because I want them to remain on the same trajectory that they are in. One thing that I would like to see, if a school closes, yes, if there's not another charter school, then we might have to write them back to the public school system. The issue that I have with the bill, I didn't have a chance to talk to you, Rep. Garcia, but I did express the fact that charter school can kick a kid out for whatever the reason is, because we know sometime in the school system there might be some bias and so forth and so on. So I've spoken to you about it, and you did say you're going to try to work with me on it. So I would support you on the bill today, contingent upon trying to work with me on that, because I don't want any kids to be kicked out of school for whatever the reason is. We need to look at the reason first, analyze it, see if they need to be kicked out, then kick them out. But not even kick them out, find another way, another pathway for them to go into. So I appreciate you discussing that with me and willing to make those changes. So I would support you all today on the bill, but please continue to work on that. Thank you so much.
Further debate? Any further debate on the bill? All right. Seeing none, Rep. Daniels, you recognize the close.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Charter schools are the only schools that lose funding if they don't perform at the level that they're supposed to perform at. So this bill is to help academically struggling charter schools. And I appreciate the healthy conversation that I've had with my colleagues and the concerns that they've had about the children who would not meet grade level at, you know, the way I see this is that it is an agreement, you know, just like with magnet schools, if they come in at 3.0, you know, they have to maintain that grade level to stay in the school. And we wouldn't just kick children out of schools. And I appreciate the concern, because I want to look in it as we go along and I keep my word that whatever we can do to work with my colleagues that will not impair the vision of the bill
I have no problem doing that, and I appreciate your support, and thank you very much for supporting this bill.
Very good. Having closed on her bill, Misty, please call the vote.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Gonzalez Pittman?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez? Waldron?
No.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Masula?
Yes. Members, by your vote, will show CS for HB 857 reported favorably. Rep. Daniels, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Next up, members, we have CS for HB 551 by Representative Benjamin and Representative Fine. Representative Benjamin, you're basically able to present your bill. Required African-American instructions, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member. This bill's last committee, so I thank you for putting it on. Last year, we had a bill that dealt with critical race theory. And many people made critical race theory synonymous with African-American history. And when I realized that, I told my aide that we had to ensure that this confusion didn't exist in statute, that we had to make it clear that Florida was serious when it came to ensuring that African-American studies would be taught to all its children. And so we went about amending HB 7 of last year to make it clear of what could be taught with regards to African-American history here in the state of Florida. And I was proud that that amendment was accepted, and I worked diligently with the sponsor of the bill at the time. And I was proud because for the first time in 20 years, we had expanded required instructions on African-American studies. Prior to that, African-American studies was dealt with in two sentences in the statute. And we found that to be insufficient. And we corrected that last year. This year, a new issue popped up. AP African American History. And a lot was said about, again, was being said about what is being taught or allowed to be taught with regards to African American studies, because we had rejected an AP course that dealt with many subjects that may not be synonymous but African-American studies. So we went back to the bill again. And we went to our chancellor. First, we went to our commissioner of education and asked what was going on. And he directed me to our chancellor of public schools. And I needed him to answer some questions. I needed him to tell me, was African-American studies, as it was required in statute, actually being taught? And how do we know? And if it's not being taught, how do we correct it? How do we enforce it? And he said, Chris, he said Rep. Benjamin, but he said, we have rules for that. We have promulgated rules for that already. I said, show me. And he showed me the rules. The rules were very specific as to what's to be done with required instructions in general, how they were to be reported, and what happens if they're not reported. And I said, great, that needs to be in statute so that people can understand what we require when we say instructions are required in the state of Florida and how we punish it if it's not, so that I could now answer the question, is African American studies actually being taught in Florida? And what happens when it's not? So today we codify those rules into statute so that we can finally say, without a doubt, African-American studies is taught, it's tracked, and it will be punished if it's not taught. And that's the bill.
Very good. Members, any questions? Questions for Representative Benjamin? Questions on the bill? All right. Seeing no questions, we do have some public testimony. Nancy Lothar, the Florida PTA, waves in support. We are now in debate. Chair Fine, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chair Fine, what? We're going to save you for close.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll come down there with
you. All right. Further debate? Any further debate? Rep. Woodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Benjamin, I was forbidden to speak this morning, but I would take the privilege, Mr. Chair, to say a few words to you and Rep. Fine, because I really commend the work that you have done. We have heard so many things, as you know, African-American studies not being taught in the schools, and also the issue of slavery cannot be talked about, or whatever makes other kids uncomfortable cannot be, and we're hearing all this. So I'm glad that you took the time to work on this in order to share some lights for everyone and every single one of us. So I commend the work that you all have done, and I look forward to support you on this bill. Thank you so much.
Rep. Daniels, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you very much for this great bill. You have taken us in Florida from rumor to reality. There was so much in the air, and there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And thank you so much for having the vision and the idea to put this in the statute.
Rep. Father of Four, Alvarez, you're recognized.
Well, I'm going to be the rep father of four who are going to get educated in the true story and the rich history of American history, right? And that, I think, is the important part of what you're trying to do. For me, I as I grow up in this country and I watched and I grew up with black kids, brown kids, Hispanic kids, you know, I just ended up seeing my friends, right? But it was awesome to understand the cultural contributions of my heritage and then understand that America's heritage is this great big pot that when we look back on it, right, we say, well, that was a black American. And I say, well, that's the guy who invented this, that, or the other. The contributions of the black community are so fundamentally important and tied. I'm not talking about the darkest part of our history. Let's talk about that. That's no problem, because from the dark we go to the light, and that's where we actually have the ability to come together, united as Americans and Floridians, which is what I think the intent of your bill is, right? I want to tell you this. So when I was in the Army, I was on a skydive team, and where we would jump was right outside of Fort Benning in Alabama, right? In a little town called Tuskegee, right? And as a soldier, if you know anything about the Tuskegee Airmen, these are the men who went from being only allowed to be cooks, only allowed to be maintenance, only allowed to be service and support in our military, to go actually be the pride of fighting America during World War II, right? So I'm a soldier, and these are my heroes, and I'm skydiving and landing on their heritage. I get to touch their airfield where they were born, and for me, that was one of the most prideful, greatest moments of my time in the military, is that I got to say that I trained where the Tuskegee Airmen were born. So I wouldn't have known that if someone hadn't taught me my part, y'all's part, of Black American heritage. So for that, I'm eternally grateful. It's a big part of the fabric of who I am, and I'm very, very much up, and I will stand with you every single day. Thank you for bringing this.
Rep. Basabi, in debate, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, gentlemen, for this bill. I think education is so important, and learning about all history is so important. And allowing us that understanding that this is really the goal, you know, of all of us up here, bringing people together to celebrate our history allows us to celebrate our diversity. And it's just a really important step in bringing people together and moving forward. So thank you very much. And I'd love to co-sponsor if you'd accept it. Thank you.
Further debate? Any further debate, members? All right, I want to thank both of you gentlemen for bringing this bill. You know, we have a broken world with a lot of darkness. But if we're ever going to bring the light into that darkness, we have to do it with truth. Not perverted truth, the straight truth. And I think both of you gentlemen are doing that by your bill. And with that, I recognize you to close. Chair Fine or Rep. Benjamin.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm a big believer in history. I've told this story probably not to the freshmen yet, but when my children were born, I made the decision that before they went to college, I would take them to every national park in the United States. There are 423. So my children have been to Frederick Douglass's home. They have been, there are two national parks in Tuskegee. They've also been to places like Manzanar, where Asian Americans were interred during World War II. I took them from a young age because I wanted them to know their history. And so one of the things that's bothered me over the last couple of years is a sense that the people in my party don't want to teach history, this conflation that you talked about. And it's important that while we may not all agree on whether ideology should be taught in the classroom, there may be different views of that, we have to stand united in saying that everyone should learn their history. And I will tell you, the thing that I often think about, at least in this discussion, is the Constitution of the United States is the greatest governing document in the history of the world. But in that greatest document in the history of the world, there was an original sin that I would bet that most of our children in school today don't know. That folks who look like Rep. Benjamin only counted as 3/5 of a person. That's in our Constitution. And that's shameful, and people should know that. But they should also know that the bloodiest war that we've ever fought in this country, bloodier than every other war combined, was fought to fix that original sin. And the overwhelming majority of people who died in that war looked like me. That's the history of America that people should know. I asked Representative Benjamin if I could prime co his bill because I was excited. I did a bill like this. The language came from this on Holocaust education. What we found is it was like a choose your own adventure. You have to teach the Holocaust. Well, I showed Schindler's List, therefore I did it. You know, some people did all kinds of crazy things, so we needed to come up with standards. And the same is true here. I would close by saying this. The history of slavery and segregation is as much my history as the Holocaust is yours. This is American history, and we're all Americans. And so I reject the notion that certain histories only should be taught to certain people. It should be taught to all of us. You know, what makes America great is we can look at the things that we have done that are good and are bad. The framers were very smart when they wrote the preamble to that extraordinary document, the Constitution. I think some of them knew that that 3/5 compromise was wrong. They said, we're going to try to create a more perfect union. They did not say intentionally. By the way, if you go back and study history, they did not say this is the most perfect union because they knew that the journey to make it more perfect, think about that. Perfect is an end point. You don't get to more perfect. It's a weird choice of words. It's grammatically incorrect. We're going to become more perfect. They said that because they knew that they weren't there and they knew that's where they wanted to go. And the way that you get there is by teaching both the good and the bad. Now, every parent can't take their children to 423 national parks, and we're getting close. Every parent can't do that. I'm lucky, but I have the ability to do that with their child. But every child can be taught as much of that history in school as possible. We want more of this, not less, and it is important that everyone, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, that we speak about this with a united voice. And with that, it's my honor to be on this bill with you, and I can't wait to present it on the floor.
Would you like to say anything else? Representative Benjamin, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just say this, and I've said it in all of its committee stops. We can disagree as to what theories should be taught, but it will never be disagreed that this history is important and shall be taught. Thank you.
Having closed on your bill, Misty, please call the vote.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabi?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Masula?
Yes. Members, by your vote, will show CS for HB 551 reported favorably. Gentlemen, congratulations. Members, we have one more item of business today that did not get on your agenda. Please join me in singing Happy Birthday to Rep. Trabulsi. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Rep. Trabulsi. Happy birthday to you. I want to thank you all for your diligence and patience today. And without objection, Rep. Bankson, move we rise. We are adjourned.